From Studio 22, you're listening to ServeCast with your host, William Lamb. ServeCast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Hey guys, welcome to ServeCast. We're glad you're back with us today. My guests are Jason and Jen Browning from Birmingham, Alabama. Spent quite a bit of time in pastoral ministry here in Cleveland, Tennessee, but now are pastoring the Metro Church of God in Birmingham. Lee alums, good friends of the house. We're glad that they are with us, and we'll be right back to talk about faith, leadership, and service. Jason, Jennifer, welcome to ServeCast. We're glad you're with us.
Thank you. Great
to
be here.
We're glad
We've not experienced this before, so we're kind of looking forward to spending a little time with you.
Yeah, just kind of sitting in a room where we're talking into microphones and people all over the world are listening to us. I think last time we checked, we're being heard in 18 countries.
Wow.
And
wow.
41 states in North America, so it's kind of fun.
That's really
cool.
That's
amazing.
That's great.
So now, my wife and I will celebrate 30 years this year, so let's talk about families and kids and moms and dads for just a minute before we go any deeper. So you have three children. Tell us.
We have three children, 16, 14, and 8 years old. They're all three girls.
All three girls.
All three girls.
For 18 years.
All three girls.
I'm with you,
man. If you could just stretch your hands right now and pray. All three girls.
All three girls.
Yeah.
You got a little break between the weddings to come, though, probably, so you'll be okay.
We do.
Yeah. It's
great,
though.
Girls.
It's really neat, watching them grow up and seeing the different stages that they are in. And right now, the oldest two are kind of close to each other as far as their stage in life. But then watching the whole high school, middle school, elementary school, it's really a great journey. It's cool.
So if you're a parent of three girls at that age, then you got to understand this whole concept of faith. Now, you're a pastor, right?
Yes, that's the plan. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you preach on a regular basis and talk about faith.
Yes, we're actually in a faith series right now at our church.
Oh, good. We're gonna dig in a little deep today about faith, and we're gonna get personal in a few minutes, and we're gonna talk about this whole idea of how do you trust God in the midst of difficulties and challenges and journeys along the way. You were in chapel recently at Lee University, and you talked about John chapter 11 and talked about the Lazarus story. Now, for those who were not in the room, although we're gonna link that particular chapel to this episode, and tell us, give us kind of a 2-minute message on the whole John 11 that you talked about today, and then we're going to unpack this whole idea of faith and leadership and service.
Sure. John chapter 11 is a famous story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, but today we looked at it through the lens that maybe the resurrection of Lazarus was not the biggest deal in that story. And some clues that kind of bring us to that conclusion is that, Jesus could have acted sooner and prevented the whole death and done all these different things, but time and time again, he says, I'm doing this so that you may believe. I'm doing this so that you will have faith. You need to believe that I am the resurrection and the life. And so really, the story speaks to us in a powerful way, teaching us that really the healings and the miracles that Jesus does are to supplement our faith and help grow our faith in who Jesus is. So that's kind of what we talked about today.
So let's dig into that just a little bit. And how do you develop a relationship? Now, as a mom, Jennifer, you're obviously modeling a relationship to these three girls. So how do you build this relationship with God as something that is able to be replicated in their young life and they're learning from their mom how to pursue this God relationship that we talk about in faith?
Well, I think that it's a daily journey. And I try to do that with each one of our girls. We have devotions at night with our girls. And then we go in each individually to their rooms and have that time with them that they can talk about their day. And really, the Lord comes to us individually where we're at. And so that's what we try to do as parents and talk to the girls of where they're at and pray about specific things, because God's in the details and he cares about each one of them and how they're developing and things like that. So.
And as was in the story with Lazarus, God is in the details.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we can't see, and I think that's what you're talking about today in chapel, sometimes we can't see God in the midst of the details. It looks like maybe God is so far away from these details. How do you cope with a situation like that where you know that God knows what's happening, but he doesn't really seem to be moving on your behalf.
Well, it's interesting because there's a part of that story today that we didn't talk about so much in chapel. But, you know, you read the Mary and Martha and Lazarus part, mm-hmm. and how they're sending word for Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. And then when Jesus decides to get up and go, he tells his disciples, and they say, no, we don't want to go. Let's just stay still. Let's sit where we are. And as I read that, I was thinking about, you know, depending on your lens or how you see things, that really guides your prayer so much. And so you've got Mary and Martha that are asking Jesus to come here, come here, come here. And you've got the disciples that are saying, no, stay, stay, stay. And so the challenge for us in faith and developing our faith is adjusting the way we see situations instead of what's the best thing for me right now, adjusting it to what can bring God the most glory out of this situation, which was really the point of the resurrection of Lazarus.
How do you adjust that, though, Jason? I mean, just to kind of unpack it for us, be very specific, you know. How do you actually adjust that to the point where you can say, you know what, I can't see God, I don't even feel God, but I know he's real, and I don't know if I even really want to, I don't even know if I really want to trust him. How do you deal with that?
Well, first I would say I don't think anybody gets that right all the time.
Okay.
Okay, if you do, you're not human. But I think there's a few different things that if you keep in your life, it helps you have the proper perspective. One, you have to have scriptural insight on a daily basis in your life. Scripture helps shape the way we see things. The point of Scripture is to grow or increase our faith. And then also, I think there has to be an amount of spiritual disciplines in your life. You can't just say, well, I'm going to be involved in prayer, or I'm going to be involved in reading the Scripture once in a while. It has to be a daily walk. We tend to look at life as this series of events that we jump from, you know, one big event to the next big event. But the development of our faith is a daily growing kind of walk with Jesus, not a jump from one calendar date to 6 months down the road. And then also, I think you have to pay attention to the relationships in your life. I know many times when I've become, you know, kind of focused on my situation and kind of down on what I'm dealing with, it's valuable for me to have people in my life that can share an alternate perspective and say, hey, maybe God's trying to do this in your life instead of just fix it, fix it, fix it. Maybe God's growing some things or developing some things in you. So I would say Scripture, I would say disciplines, and I would say relationships are really key in maintaining that perspective.
Jen, you were talking a few minutes ago about the same thing, that it is a daily process, especially with, you know, small children at home. Remind us of the ages of your kids again.
So they're 8, 14, and 16.
Oh, okay. So you just got one small, and then the other are teenagers, and that's
they think they're 30.
They think they're 30, right?
They do. One thing I would add to, as being a mom and with our girls, when we put them to bed at night, that year-old sometimes would get scared. And I think keeping the Scripture and the truth about what God says we are and who we are in him is very important. And she would come in the bedroom a lot and be scared. And Jason and I would get up so much in the middle of the night. And finally, we were just like, my word, this is wearing on us. So we got to a point where I was praying. I was like, Lord, you've got to show us what to do. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is so great about giving us creativity. And I think so. I felt like I was supposed to take pillowcases and put cardboard between them. And oh, wow. We wrote on these pillowcases, and I did it with all three of my girls. And we wrote about what God says we are in the Bible. They're loved, they're anointed, they're called, they're a light, they are joyful, they're set apart, they are chosen. All the things that God says in his word. We wrote these on the pillowcases and prayed over them. And every night, even when we go to bed and things like that, they want those pillowcases close to them because they know, even though there's nothing special about these pillowcases, there's something that keeps in front of them to know that he is faithful and they are chosen. They are called. And so that's just something, you know, something small but tangible that we were able to, and even in our move, just in the past 6 weeks, they would take those pillowcases, those pillows with them everywhere they went because they brought them comfort. Mm-hmm. And that was just something I just wanted to add.
And that was a wonderful thing the Lord kind of gave Jennifer. And we carried that to other places in ministry. And Jen sat down with a group of girls at Metro recently, and they made Scripture pillowcases. Mm. And so that was just, like Jen said, a tangible way for those girls to be reminded, hey, Scripture is here and it's building your faith. But yeah, I totally
agree. And to sleep
agree.
On truth, to lay on truth. And yeah. If you get scared at night, turn on your light and read your pillowcase and remind yourself whenever you have those thoughts of discomfort or confusion, or you're all alone with your thoughts at night sleeping and you don't know what to think, and maybe you're thinking all these negative things, but to turn on the light and read those things again and go, no, this is what the Word says that I am.
I'm loving that. I'm just wondering maybe in a few months or years if we're going to be able to walk into a store somewhere and see these Scripture-written pillowcases that you created and make that a reality for a lot of other people. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be super cool.
So how are you seeing that affect your children's witness when they're around their friends?
You know, it's crazy because when they go home with friends,
yeah,
that's the pillow they want to take.
Wow.
Because they don't, that you know, they take a pillow or pillowcase, that's what they want to take, and they take that with them. And they, other friends are talking to them about, what's on your pillowcase? Oh, well, I take this at night. It's just, it says, you know, and they, I made them write their names on the pillow so that it's their name surrounded by what the Word of God says that they are. So it's a witness tool as well for them. So
has there been a period with them where maybe even in their prayer time, especially with your children, that you've had to teach them that this whole process of waiting is, you know, God doesn't necessarily move as quick as we want him to. What does that look like as parents to be able to teach your children the realities that, you know, the world isn't necessarily getting any better, but our faith can increase in the process?
Well, again, you know, because of their ages, we as parents are able to look and see how they see the world, you know, based on how they pray and how we hear them pray. We recently moved to Birmingham just a few weeks ago, about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And, you know, it was not a unanimous vote in our family to move. You know, and it was difficult because our children would say things to us like, well, you know, everything's fine here. Everything's great here. All our friends are here. We have a life here. And so what Jennifer and I just tried to do was model faith for them, which is, in essence, just trusting God and saying, we believe this is the direction that God has led us. And so we're going to step out in faith and trust that God's going to take care of us. And so now that we've got a couple of months behind us, it's been beautiful to see how God is starting to develop relationships and bring key people into our lives in our new place, and just see him saying, you know what, I'll honor your faith. I'll respond to what you're doing. And our children are able to see that too. You know, life's not all horrible when you leave home, but
sure,
as long as you have God with you, then you can make it. And so we've watched that in our kids' lives. And there's still times where, you know, all of us say, oh, wow, you know, are we okay? What's going on? But our children are starting to see relationship with God for them is important, not just through mom and dad, but but on their own.
And to encourage questions. We tell them it's okay to question.
Sure.
And constantly question, because God can take our questions and he can take us not understanding everything. But it's when we stop bringing them to him is when we get in trouble, because we're trying to figure it out on our own without going to him and constantly asking and praying and reading the Word to find those answers to who is the answer. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And I really appreciate you saying that, Jen, because my wife and I, you know, again, I mentioned earlier that we'll celebrate 30 years this June, and we have three sons. I have one daughter-in-law, and by the time this episode airs, I'll probably have a second daughter-in-law and third not so far around the corner. But so what are some of the scriptures that you've written on these pillowcases, some of the scriptures that you know that, man, this is the real stuff, and this is where we need to get a real perspective from Scripture as to how we view the realities and the difficulties and the challenges that we're facing in faith?
So Romans 15:13,
okay.
May the hope of the Lord, I'm not going to say it all right, but it's the hope and the Spirit of the Lord give you joy through the Holy Spirit. And then the other one is Psalms 38:9 that says, O Lord, my desires are before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. Even the breath that we breathe out that nobody understands, he knows those sighing breaths, and he understands you right where you are. And we write, you know, the Lord is my strength. Just different ones that they've picked out of. My oldest picked, she is clothed in strength and dignity. She's picked the one out of Proverbs. So just, you know, just different encouraging scriptures to remind them who they are and things like that. But I think it's okay also for our kids to constantly question and constantly ask us different things and then go to the scripture and find those answers and say them over and over.
Yeah, that's really the key, you know, in these pillowcases that Jen's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing for us to say, hey, write wisdom and faith sure. and love and hope on your pillowcase. It's another thing for us to take our kids to the scripture and say, what does the scripture say about you? Okay, let's write that on a pillowcase. Mm. And so as we walked, as Jen kind of walked our kids through it, and as she's walked other young ladies through it, that's been really crucial in that faith development. You tell me what the scripture says about you. And that's when the light turns on.
Right. Yes. I want them to find it.
Yeah.
Like, find what you want to say on your and make it yours.
Yeah, because, I mean, the reality is this whole relationship thing is very personal. Mm-hmm. You know, this relationship with God is very personal. My dad and my mom, you know, they were married 52 years. And that was actually them, you know, outliving their spouses in their previous marriages. And so they had a very full life. My dad was a pastor. And he modeled, you know, all of the faith perspectives. But I had to learn to own it for myself. You sure. know, and then my kids had to learn to own it for themselves. And that's the same thing that you're telling us today, that you can, as parents, share it with them and develop this idea and this quest and this journey towards faith. But there comes a point when they got to own it themselves. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your kids own it themselves?
I would say through this process, our middle child, Abby, has had the hardest time. And even though throughout this, she has looked at me and said, I know I don't like it. And I know I prayed against it, but I can see that God is with us and he's doing this. And Mom, you've always said for us to always trust Jesus no matter what. And so I'm going to do that even when I don't like what I'm seeing. And even sometimes when we don't see what's in the natural, what's going on in the natural, mm-hmm. and we don't like what's coming and we think this doesn't look good. If we stay faithful and stay and know that God's with us and he's walking through everything with us, then we have to know that because he was faithful before, he's going to be faithful now and in the future. And so I think she's seen God's faithfulness through our lives, through our testimonies and things like that. And so she's able to still push through, even though she doesn't like what she sees now, mm-hmm. that he's still going to be faithful. And then our oldest, she's doing great there.
Sure.
And so she's learned, you know, a lot of friends. And so it's like immediate, the Lord has already, there's yeah, been immediate. A lot of friendships and things like that. So she's seen the faithfulness immediately. And our 8-year-old, I think she's just watching the show right now,
sure.
kind of seeing how this all develops.
Well, and so. One thing, you know, we try to be real with our kids.
Sure.
I know a lot of parents will just kind of, you know, want to show their kids the highlight reel and here's where we got it right. But we kind of tried to say, hey, we messed up sometimes here.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, there's been times we had to apologize to our kids and say, mm-hmm. sorry, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think by doing that, they see that it's okay to make mistakes. You know, you're human. That doesn't disqualify you from walking a faith journey with Jesus. But actually, those are growing times. Those are times when you repent that God can say, okay, let me bring you back to where you need to be. And I think kids need to see that in their parents.
I think what you model eventually gets replicated,
sure.
you know, by them, and then they're modeling that for the next generation. So your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren down the road somewhere, you know, will obviously have a better shot at faith because of what you've done. So
our oldest, she's been the coolest with the move because
yeah.
She was like, hey, in a year and a half, I'm coming back to Lee, so we can move to Japan if you want to.
Yeah.
I'm good. Whatever you want to do.
That's awesome. Hey, we're going to come right back, and we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk specifically about the ideals of leadership from a faith perspective. Don't leave us. Staying with us, we're going to hone out this idea of leadership from a faith perspective. Now, Jason and Jen, authentic leaders are transparent leaders. If you're an authentic leader, and I know you are, you're a transparent leader. So considering that, I know this move has been a challenge for you, but maybe go a little bit more personal for us today so that we can kind of understand how people who have high levels of faith deal with issues and circumstances, and how does that faith play out in that process? So what's a personal difficulty or a suffering that you encountered that was for God's glory? Because you talked about that in your chapel talk about, you know, God getting glory. And sometimes you're going to be in a journey, not for necessarily that we can be freed from it early. Maybe this is for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you trust God in the process of getting through that?
Well, I'll tell you, one thing that I'm guilty of, I think a lot of folks are guilty of, when we read the scripture, we always want to put ourselves in the best light possible. Like when I read John 11, I'm always Lazarus, and Jesus kind of comes to the rescue. Mm-hmm. When I read David and Goliath, I'm always David. I'm never Goliath. Mm. You know, today.
Interesting perspective.
Today I'm Mary and Martha. Mm. And the reason for that, a few years back, my dad passed away. Mm. And what was interesting about that was he was having gallbladder surgery, which you're not really supposed to die from gallbladder surgery. And as I read, you know, the story of Lazarus, they were so dependent on what Jesus could do and provide healing for them. There were no other options. But then I look at my life and I think, you know, I have a lot of options. You know, I've got healthcare and doctors and medicine and all these different things before it gets to the point of, oh no, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And for my dad passing, going in for gallbladder surgery, that was supposed to be just kind of a routine thing. But then in the middle of it, my dad had a heart attack while he was in the surgery. Mm. And just everything got out of rhythm. And, you know, I was able to make it down there before he passed. And we had a great, great last conversation, you know, dad and son. But then in the coming weeks after, you know, the weeks right after that, I started asking those questions. You know, my dad was pastoring. You know, why don't you take a guy that's a drug dealer? You know, why don't you take some guy that's doing bad stuff? Mm-hmm. What was happening was my paradigm was all focused on me. You know, and it was focused on the sense of, okay, I should be God and I should order things. You know, and I think probably one of my biggest weaknesses is the fact that I want to control my life. You know, I was raised, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
We're individuals, you know, it's all about me and I can make it happen for me and how does it fit around my schedule. Mm-hmm. But faith and specifically Christianity doesn't work that way. It's not all about me. And so I had to come to the realization, and I still have to in some ways, you know, even though it's tragic and difficult, this is something that God's using to develop and bring me closer to Him. The greater your faith is, the closer you are to God, mm-hmm. you know? And so God will leverage or utilize any situation, even if it's uncomfortable for you, even if it's not what you specifically wanted. He'll leverage that to bring you closer to Him, because that's the goal of my life. You know, my faith has to be something that's bigger than even my life itself is.
Sure.
And that's the belief in who Jesus is, not just what Jesus can do. And so, you know, to say I've worked through all of that, no. But I can look back now and say, okay, God, I see what you are developing in me. I see how you are walking with me through these difficult times.
So in the world today, we know that there's good and evil, obviously, and it's not necessarily a war against people to people. It's more of a war against right and wrong and good and evil. So how does a person discern whether a difficulty, a challenge is from God as a growing, developing model or an attack from the enemy who seeks to oppose the faith development that all of us are trying to get to in our lives?
Sure. I think that's a very legitimate question. You know, for people to say that all bad stuff comes from the enemy, or there's no time in your life where you'll experience something where God walks you through, you have to stay in the scripture to do that. Now, I'll tell you four things that I think are really, and they'll sound very familiar to you and maybe even some of your audience. I think you have to start with scripture.
Sure.
You have to look and say, okay, there are times where bad things happen to good people. The scripture's filled with stories about that. Now, James is really clear that, you know, sometimes when we sin, we do have negative consequences that come in our life. The laws of sowing and reaping are evident. We see that everywhere. But we have to look at Scripture and say, okay, let the Bible read me for a minute. Am I doing something out of line? Is there something I need to repent for? And then say, okay, God, if this is something that you're walking with me through, I need you to walk with me. If it's something the enemy's coming against me with, I need you to protect me. But even in that, there's a faith view that says, no matter if this is from the enemy or if God's walking me through it, I still put my confidence in Jesus. Either way, He's either protecting me or he's guiding me or a little bit of both. And then I think, you know, not just scripture, but you have to see what's reasonable. You know, you have to see what is reasonable in your life. And what I mean by that is when you face a situation, you know, if you've been sowing seeds that are not healthy, mm-hmm. and then you reap something that's not healthy, that's a reasonable thing. You can't smoke for 50 years and then get surprised when you have lung cancer.
Sure.
You know, you have to look at your life through a reasonable lens. Is this something that's reasonable? And then you have to look at kind of the tradition of the church. You have to say, okay, how have other people before me dealt with situations like this? We negate church history a lot, but so many of the things that we go through, previous generations have walked through similar things with us. I saw a funny thing the other day where they took all the emojis off the iPhone keyboard and put it next to the hieroglyphics, and they said, you know, after thousands of years, this is where we are.
Yeah.
And that's funny, but, you know, at the same time, we have to look at what does the tradition of the church say? How have previous generations walked through this? And then the last thing, of course, is experience. You know, what have we experienced in the past? How have I seen God walk me through difficult times, or how have I seen the attack of the enemy show up in my life? And so I think those four things kind of really help guide and shape our faith.
You know, we're just in a kind of a chaotic moment in the world in so many ways. Yeah. You know, we see so much difficulty with recent school shootings, you know, that are happening with, you know, a lot of just trauma that's happening around the world. And then you have a celebration, but a sad moment for those of us who are in the Christian faith with Billy Graham passing recently and his dying. And it seems like some of the giants of the faith seem to be dying off. You know, what do we need to know as leaders? Both of you are leaders. You're a leader of ladies and moms and girls and, you know, a lot of other business leader years ago when you were in Cleveland and then Jason as a pastor. So what are some perspectives that we need to be aware of in trying to get people to the place they need to be in this faith development so they move from observing the chaos and just getting, you know, distracted and defeated so much? How are they going to move towards really putting this faith test to work? You gave us four principles, but dig a little bit deeper in what are some practical ways in which we can now say, you know what, I see chaos, but I'm still going to trust.
Well, and let me tell you about these four principles. You say I gave them to you. That's the Wesleyan quadrilateral for how we interpret the scriptures.
Yes, it is.
So I didn't really come up with that, but I think that's a great—
You shared it with us.
Yeah, I shared that with you. You know, I think about this in terms of when I get opportunities to speak at Lee.
Yeah.
Because one of the major differences—
Which we like it when you come to Lee, by the
thanks.
Way, so hopefully you'll come back.
I love being here. Love being here. One of the major differences that I see with students now, as opposed to when I was here, which that makes you sound really old every time you say when I was here, no longer is information king. You know, when I was here, you know, and I was in my 20s and I was a college student, you had to have the information.
Mm-hmm.
Now the information is accessible. I mean, I can Google anything I need to know.
Sure.
So it's really more key with how do you interact with that information in relationship with other people. And that's really more about what education is, and I think that's really more about what faith is for us. There was a time in America and a time in Christian history where the people that had the information kind of ruled everything. But now everybody has access to all these different truths that the Scripture teaches mm-hmm. us. And so what we as leaders have to do is say, how do we create environments? How do we create circles where people can interact in that information? You know, what's the healthy way to interact? And really helping new believers and people who are being discipled understand that, you know, just because you get this information does not mean this is the correct information.
Hmm.
You know, we have to say, okay, what do we discern as truth first? And again, that starts with Scripture for us. So I think that's a challenge with leaders.
So let's talk for just a few minutes and as we get ready to end this particular segment on leadership. As a leader, when you know somebody who has walked away from the faith, and you mentioned that in your chapel talk a little bit about the reality that some people, maybe as a child, Jen, maybe they were developed as a child and they had parents who were loving and caring and brought them up in the faith, but yet at some point they decided to walk away. So what advice do you have for those who have lost their faith and trusting God's power in present circumstances? Or what advice do you have for people who basically have had a family member that has lost their faith and kind of walked away from the faith, and maybe might be questioning themselves whether or not this is a reality?
Mm-hmm. You know, it says in the Bible that love never fails, mm-hmm. and that God is love. Mm-hmm. And I think loving them right where they are and not maybe judging everything that they're doing, but looking at them for the person that they are and who God created them to be, and to truly love them, pray for them, and love them without a condition, because God didn't call us to condemn, but he called us to love. So that's
yeah, and you know, you're exactly right. Jesus said it best. He said, "By this all men will know you're my disciples."
Yeah.
Not by how much scripture you've memorized.
Love one
not
for
by
another.
Your church attendance, but the love that you have one for another. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend that's walking through a pretty difficult time with his son. You know, raised him in church, raised him to love Jesus, put him to bed every night and said the prayers. And, you know, he's now in his late teens, maybe early 20s, and he's making some decisions that indicate he's kind of walking away from faith. And I love what he said. He said, "I'm going to do whatever I have to do to keep the lines of communication open." Hmm. And I'm going to love him even if I don't agree with what he's doing. I want to make sure that I maintain relationship first. And I think that with the kind of the toxic climate that we have in our culture, so many people are interested in just being right. Like, I want to be right. I want mm-hmm. to prove I'm smart. I want to prove I'm right. But above that, above proving my point and proving that I'm the smart guy, higher than that is the relationship value. God's called us to value relationships higher than that. And out of that relationship, that's where we can start to really speak into people's lives. And then the second part of your question, you know, I think if there's a person that's questioning their faith, I would say that, you know, God's big enough to handle your questions. You know, if you're gonna really question your faith and maybe you're thinking about walking away from it, I think it's okay to question. I think it's okay to question as long as you have an open heart and saying, "Okay, God, I'm really seeking what you want me to do. I really want to hear what you want to do." God didn't create robots. He didn't want us to just be something that he could have programmed us to always have the right answers, but he gave us opportunity to walk away if we want to. But in that opportunity is where we find real love, because love's not love if you don't choose it. And so when people choose to have relationship with God, that's what he wants. That's what faith is. Mm-hmm. So I would say to those that are questioning, it's okay, but go in with an open mind and open heart that, you know, a couple of thousand years of Christian history and tradition, there's something to that. We may need to look into that for a moment.
Being a education major at Lee, I think when you were here, right, one of yeah. your past professors probably was Gary Riggins, and Gary Riggins yeah. defines trust as a risk survived. Gary says wow. trust is defined as a risk survived. And I think what we're hearing today on this podcast is that we can trust God. And there's a lot of risk that we're facing in the world today, but man, there's a lot of proof that he's still with us in the midst of it.
Absolutely.
And
he is walking with us mm-hmm. and with children and with families and with brothers who are struggling and difficulty and all of those problems. Hey guys, don't leave us. We're going to come right back for the final few minutes of this episode. We're going to talk about the ideals of service, and we're going to let Jen talk a little bit more in detail about this mama parenting kind of stuff and how she can make an impact in the world and challenge other moms to make impacts in the world. All right, welcome back. Jason, Jen, we're going to kind of finish up now with this final segment in this episode today, and we're going to talk about service. You've heard a lot about faith. You've shared a lot about faith, and you've talked a whole lot about leadership and, you know, some of the challenges that are facing us today. But what do you think is the greatest need facing our world today? Jason, we'll ask you that, and then we're going to come back, and we want you, Jen, to answer that from a family perspective, and maybe you answer it, Jason, from a perspective from the church culture or something like that. What is the greatest need that we're seeing that's affecting the world today?
I think it's part of what you touched on earlier. The world needs authentic Christian leadership. Mm-hmm. It needs people that are genuine. It needs people that aren't pretentious and don't put up a certain front. If you noticed, we kind of have our generations of religious leaders that build up their kingdom and then, you know, shortly after it falls. I like that you're talking about service today. I think that faith and service are linked together. When I was younger, coming up in the church, there was a lot of talk about faith, and then the church kind of had a shift to this service mentality. It had a shift to this: how can I help? How can I be involved? And we even see that here on this campus. I mean, the things that you've done here with the Student Center has just been phenomenal, with the way that the school is training people, and you're teaching people that faith and service aren't mutually exclusive from mm-hmm. each other, but they are linked together. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the way we understand that is that, you know, service is in many ways a demonstration of our faith. When we read through the scriptures and we see the miracles that Jesus does, yes, there's a need. Yes, when Jesus goes to feed 5,000, the people are hungry. Yes, Lazarus is sick and dies. There's a need that's there, but there's something greater than just the risk of the need not being met. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he's Jesus. If he wanted to feed 5,000 people, he could just pop up Chick-fil-A's through the ground and sure. do whatever he wanted to do. So it's not really so much about the need being met in the service, but what happens is there's always this moment where faith is stretched in people that serve. Because invariably you run into this situation where you'll say, well, I feel like I want to go do this service thing, but I feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have the tools, I don't have the equipment, I don't have the education, I don't have the know-how, I don't have the contacts, I don't have the charisma. There's so many different things that we internalize and say, I can't serve because of this. But really what's happening is God is stretching our faith. And I love, you know, one pastor I heard said, you do what you can do, and God will do what he can do. Mm-hmm. And that's really true for us. When it comes to service, God's not asking any of us to feed 5,000 or raise people from the dead. He's simply asking, you do what you can do. And then God shows up and does something powerful. And I think you've probably seen that more than any of us with all the things that happen with regards to service around here and the way you go to serve and your life ends up being changed. Mm-hmm. So service for us is really a faith moment. Mm-hmm. It's a faith grower. It's not just about, hey, we have hungry people that need to be fed. There's a need there, and there's something that happens there too. But really, internally, it's God growing your faith.
Mm-hmm. And reciprocity is a key, and I think you just alluded to that, that basically when you're investing in somebody else's life, your life typically is going to be changed or changed or helped or, you know, increased or made better just as a result of your kindness and sharing to someone else. One of favorite Mother Teresa quotes, and I have a few of those, is if you can't feed 100, just feed one. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes is just with one person. Maybe mm-hmm. it's just reaching out to touch one person. Jen, moms all over the world are struggling. Moms all over the world, you know, are having difficulty. And so what are some of the needs that you're seeing that the moms today, or maybe the family is a big need that we need to address in caregiving for families and moms?
You know, I think that as a mom, it's a tough thing to do sometimes, to always just serve and mm-hmm. serve. There's no thank yous all the time that come around. And the attitudes that come back are not always the best. But to continue to serve and to love your kids and other people's children when they're in your home. And to find ways to creatively just continue to do that and forgive and, you know, go on and model that for other moms. And I think, you know, just that prayer time in the mornings or mm-hmm. even at night, whatever works best for them, to pray for your kids and pray for other children helps our attitudes. I know it helps mine if I miss the time of prayer, or miss times of really going before the Lord and asking the Lord about my kids and things like that. I can find myself get dry and tired, but I find that the more that I go to the Lord in prayer and try to serve my kids, that somehow through all that, I can be renewed through that. I don't know if that answers.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to speak for Jim, but I feel kind of safe to do so. I think we've learned more about Jesus being parents
than absolutely
in any area of our life, in any other time in our life. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. True. I mean, you learn about God's love. It's not that you're kids make mistakes, that doesn't bother you as much. It's when the teenagers make those mistakes with such confidence that they're right, you
sure.
know? And then you're like, ah.
Yeah.
And for us.
And how do you coach them through that process? How do you help them through
well,
that
Well, most
process?
Of the time we just yell at them and tell them to go to the room.
Do not. We do not.
No, you know.
You might yell at them and she prays for them as they go to the room, right?
And then we apologize later and they see that we're authentic and that's how it
it's
works.
It's all about the relationship, Jason. It's all
well,
about the relationship.
You know, different situations, you parent differently. You know that. And for us, we don't always get that right. There are some times where we have to go back and say, hey, I didn't coach you right through this.
Mm.
You know. And then, of course, depending on the stage that your child's in. You know, you coach an 8-year-old disciple of Jesus a lot differently than you do an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be so dependent on the leading of the Holy Spirit in your parenting
mm-hmm.
because, you know, your words are important and your kids will carry those things for a long time. And you want them to carry the right things. You don't want them to be hurt. You don't want them to be scarred. And so it is a difficult journey, but it's also the most rewarding thing that we've been involved in.
I think something I always say is, Lord, whatever I planted that was wrong, can you dig up those holes?
Wow.
And plant something else, because if I've messed up in my planting, because I know that I'm planting seeds for a harvest mm-hmm. for them later, and I think, Lord, what if I've planted some seeds that you're not pleased with, mm. will you dig that up and plant it with something else?
I like the authenticity of how you said that, because parenting is, it's a journey. You know, when I was listening, as you were talking, I was thinking about my raising. My kids are now 24, 27, 29, and I'm thinking, you know, man, I blew it a lot of times, but yet God was faithful, you know, to help us. So what do you say to those parents? I'm sorry, what do you say to those children, not the parents, but what do you say to the children who don't have parents like you, who don't have parents like my wife and I were, you know, or are? What do you say to those children who are trying to develop their faith, but they don't have somebody who will help them scribe scripture on a pillowcase? They don't have someone who will hug them good night and tell them, you know, that they love them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to children that, or maybe even college students that are listening to this, that maybe even parents that are listening to this that didn't have that same caring, loving, relational parents in their life? How can they make the turn at this stage?
Well,
question, you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, I do. And I think the first thing I would say to them is, I'm sorry.
Hmm.
I'm sorry you're walking through that. You know, that has to be tremendously difficult. The scripture gives us a few images that we see God through. One of them is that we are the bride of Christ and he's the groom coming back for us. But the other one, and probably the most dominant theme in scripture, I would say, is that God is our Father. And so you can have a heavenly parent.
Mm.
You know, Jesus even said it this way, I won't leave you as orphans. I won't leave you as fatherless. I won't leave you as a people that don't have someone to care for you. And so, yeah, you know, Jesus may not be tucking you in bed at night. He may not be helping you make pillowcases.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can bring comfort to heal wounds that nobody else can heal. I believe that the Spirit can move in a way and touch people's lives that when there was an area or a void or a distance or something that you were lacking in, that God can do what he did in the life of Joseph,
mm-hmm.
you know, and take what was meant to harm you and turn around for good. I mean, if you look at it, when we read the scripture, Jesus comes from a blended family. Jesus comes, you know, he spent time on earth both with parents and both away from them. And so we understand we have a Savior that can speak to that and can fill those gaps that we may have in our heart.
So generally, unless you're a believer, let's say that, you know, we know that Christ followers have this whole relationship with God where it's tender. You know, he's developing our heart of compassion. Jude 22, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and some have compassion making a difference, you know, that your compassion leads you to action mm-hmm. to make an impact on someone else's life. How can you challenge us today how in your experience can you counter us? I'm sorry, how can you help us to counter a culture that is contradicting this idea of weeping for the loss or weeping for the hurting or weeping for family or caring for one another. Our culture isn't really given to that. And how can you challenge us as we get ready to close this episode today on moving toward a compassionate, compelling, even if you have to weep, I'm sure you have wept over your children and over children that had no parents and over parents in the ministry. You can't avoid that, but how can you challenge us today to do that?
Well, a few years ago, Jennifer and I went to Kathmandu, Nepal, and spent some time with children there who are among those that you would describe as the least of these.
Okay.
And I think one of the greatest things that came out of that for me was awareness. You know, I understand. I don't ever want to be the preacher that stands up with designer jeans and pulls out his iPhone and preaches against materialism. You know, I don't want to be that guy. And so I say this on a podcast.
Sure.
You won't have compassion for things that you are not aware of.
Mm.
And so in many cases, put down the phone, turn off the TV, stop with all the stuff that can manipulate your emotions, and start looking around to see, okay, what's really happening around me? Many times we think we have to go to Kathmandu in order to do something for God, but maybe across the sea is not for us, but maybe across the street is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are near where we are that are struggling. And I would say it starts with awareness. What's going on around me? And then how is God calling me to act in that? You know, how is God calling me to respond in that? And so I would say, you know, if you want to be inspired to serve, if you want to be inspired to demonstrate faith through service, then you're going to have to get outside yourself. You're going to have to get outside of your experience. You're going to have to get outside of the what's in it for me and just start to say, okay, God, what's around me? And how do I answer what's around me according to what you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. I tell students in my classes all the time, you know, that look for the not so obvious and listen for what people can't tell you. If yeah. you're looking for the not so obvious in these relationships that God gives you for encounters in life, and you are listening for what people are trying to tell you, but they can't articulate, mm-hmm. it's in that intersection that are some of the most amazing opportunities to bring about the much needed transformation exist.
Love
and it's
that.
In that great
love
place.
I love that. That
that's
is
great.
So awesome. Yeah. I love that you... That's great.
Yeah. And then I tell them you're responsible for what you know. Yeah. And so, you know, we are responsible to care for people. We're going to come back to you in just a minute, Jen, to ask you to pray. Now, I haven't done this too many times, and I think this will be the second time in the podcast that I've ever closed a podcast in prayer. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But if somebody listens to this and they're in Alabama in proximity of your church and close to Metro, how do they connect with you guys? How do they get a hold of you? And where in the world can they email you to figure out about pillows and pillowcases and scriptures?
Okay, awesome. Well, first of all, we're very centrally located just off Interstate 459. The best way to find out information is metropolitanchurch.net. I'd love to correspond with anybody that wants to reach out at pastorjason@metropolitanchurch.net. That's my email address, and that goes straight to me. That doesn't get filtered through
sure.
three or four people, you know, I'd love to reach out. We meet on Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, and it's just a great group of people. It's intergenerational, people that love Jesus, and none of them are perfect, but we're trying to find out more about who Jesus is and how he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'd love to connect with anybody that's in our area.
Awesome. Hey, guys, as I mentioned on a recent podcast, at the end of these interviews, we're actually going to start adding a song, a reflective song, and one from Liu Worship. And so after Jen prays in just a moment, don't leave us, because that Liu Worship tune is going to come on and give you an opportunity to have just a few minutes to reflect. Be reminded, you're always, you and I are always made for more, and God is wanting us to get out in the world and make an impact and make a difference. Somebody needs you, so be the best you can be today for them. Jen, I am the son of a praying mom. And I believe in the power of praying moms. And as I mentioned a moment ago, I think this is the second time that I have ever asked somebody to pray at the end of a podcast. But I believe today that you need to pray that the people who are listening to this podcast, that God would somehow grab a hold of their hearts, and that somehow they would find a reconnection or an original connection or something whatever's on your heart to pray. And at the end of that prayer, we're going to not say goodbye. It's just going to go straight into that Lee U worship song and give people a moment for personal reflection. I'm so glad you guys joined us today. But would you pray today that God would touch somebody's life?
Yes. Lord, we come to you today, Father, because you are God. You are holy. You are worthy today. Lord, we just come to you, Father, for everyone that's listening to this podcast today. Lord, you know who's listening. God, you know whose ears are here listening. And God, we just pray right now that you're going to cover their hearts and their minds. And Father, you're going to reach them for wherever they are at. God, that whatever they're struggling with, whatever they're thinking about, whatever they're worrying about, God, the anxiety, frustration, or depression, God, I pray right now that you're going to cover their hearts and God, that you are going to speak to them. Lord, I pray that you bring somebody to their place right now, Lord Jesus, or wherever they're at, that someone is able to speak truth in their life today. Lord, I pray that light will come in darkness and in dark world and in dark places. Lord, I pray that where your light is, God, that your love will shine. Lord, I pray that people will be covered, for you said in your word that you will hedge us behind and before, and that you have laid your hand upon us. And God, I pray that you will lay your hand upon each person today as they are listening. God, that they will hear that you love them and that you will come to wherever they're at, that you are seeking after them and that you want a relationship with them, Lord. And I just pray that as we seek you, that all these things that we're worried about, all these things that we're frustrated about, will be added unto them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Christ, the image of our God, radiance of perfect love, shines through all eternity, giving hope to all who see. None compares to everything you are, promised Savior, keeper of our hearts. Every song we ever sing, all to Jesus Christ our King. Christ, the fullness of our Lord, that no mind can comprehend, why he would die for our mistake and not regret the price he paid.
Love heaven, singing of your word.
crown you now with majesty. All to Jesus Christ our King.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.